Let's pray before we jump in.
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much. God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together in this room tonight. God, I thank you for every student who's in this room. God, I thank you for every worship member who was just on this stage, just leading us in worship. God, and just continuing that message. God, even if we don't see anything, if we don't see the work, but God, as long as we have you, that we have everything. God, I just pray that as we dig into your word tonight, Father, that you would just open the hearts and the minds of these students. God, I pray that if they don't know you, God, that tonight would be the night that they come to know you. Because Father, like we're going to talk about, God, that the most important relationship that we have in our life is our relationship with you. So Father, I just pray that if there's any student in this room tonight, God, that is struggling with that relationship or that doesn't even have that relationship yet, Father, I pray that tonight would be the night that they come to know you. Father, for myself, God, I pray that you would just speak through me. God, I know my words will fail, but God, that you can still speak through me. Father, I just pray that these words that come out of my mouth, that these aren't my words, but they are your words through me. Father, we love you. And again, we're so grateful to be in this room together. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, hey, everyone, how you guys doing? Awesome. Hey, I'm great. Thanks for asking. Man. Hi, Michael. Sorry, he yelled from the back. I had to yell back to him. I could not. Hey, I'm so excited that you guys are here tonight. If we haven't gotten to meet before, my name is Caden Walker. I get to serve here on staff at Revolution as our Jasper Campus Student Director. So I get to hang out with you guys every week. And that's pretty cool. I'd say I have the coolest job that I could think of. I absolutely love it. And hey, I'm so excited that you guys are here for week 6 of our IRL series. So if you haven't been here for the last few weeks, we've been jumping into this series called IRL, or In Real Life, where we've been talking about what it means to have real, authentic relationships. That on the surface of a relationship, we see one thing, but when we really dive into that relationship, when we dig deep, that's when we see the true roots that are behind that relationship. So the last couple of weeks, we've been diving into, we started out with the family dynamic. We talked about our relationship with our parents. We talked about our relationship with our siblings. Then we went to our relationships with our friends. We talked about those same gender friends, those guy-to-guy relationships, those girl-to-girl relationships. A couple weeks ago, we talked about our friendships that we have with opposite gender friends. So those friends that, hey, maybe you're a guy and you have a friend that's a girl. Maybe you're a girl and you have friends that are guys. We talked about the dynamic of those relationships and how every relationship requires something. And tonight, we're jumping right back in and we're continuing off of Pastor Chad's message from last week. And Pastor Chad brought an amazing message last week. And tonight, we're just going to continue developing into that and what it means to become the person that person that you're looking for is looking for. And I want to give you guys just a quick reminder before we jump in that week 7 is next week. So next week is week 7. And we, as we've been talking about, we're going to be doing a roundtable discussion. So next week, instead of a message, we're going to have 5 people circled up back here of some of our staff members and some of our pastors. And we're answering the questions that you guys have submitted to this form. So at the end of the message tonight, there'll be a QR code up on the screen, as well as your leaders have this QR code. But this is for you guys to ask the questions that you want to know. And tonight is going to be one of those nights where you may have some of those questions, because we're going to be continuing on through this conversation that Pastor Chad had with us last week. And Pastor Chad brought to this idea of what the purpose of marriage is. What is the purpose of actually having that other person with you? Why do we get married? And that's what we're going to be continuing to dive in tonight, and looking at the true purpose of what it means to date someone and how we see that culture has twisted that. That culture has said, oh, dating is something that's for fun, that we do it because we find pleasure in it, or, oh man, I just want to have somebody with me. I just want to date somebody because culture says it's cool. And how we've seen how culture has so twisted that, but what the true purpose of dating is for marriage. So we're going to continue diving into that tonight. And instead of asking the question, am I becoming the right person? Or sorry, I said that backwards. Instead of asking the question, hey, is this person the right person? Tonight we're asking the question, am I the right person? So it all leads to this one question, this main question over tonight. Are you the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? That's a tongue twister. Jeffrey had it twisted up. I mean, it's a hard phrase to say. I'm going to say it again. Are you the person you're looking for is looking for? So we're going to continue just diving into that, because in the end, how can we expect to find the right person if we're not the right person first? Just like how we talked about a couple weeks ago with our opposite gender friends, or even just our friends in general, how can we expect our friends to show up if we don't show up for them? And in the same way, how can we expect to find the right person? How can we expect to find that person that checks off all the boxes that we're looking for in dating if we're not that person first? And here's the thing, right now in the season of life that you guys are in, as students from sixth grade to 12th grade, there's no better time to become that person than right now. You guys have all the time in the world. You guys don't have those adult responsibilities just yet. So you guys are in that perfect season of life where you can become that person that the person you're looking for is looking for. Now, I want to clarify this. This season that you guys are in, let's just call it singleness for now. Let's just call this season singleness. The season that you guys are in isn't just a waste of time. It's a season of forging. We talked about how iron sharpens iron a few weeks ago. Well, in order for the first iron to be sharpened, for the first sword to actually be sharp, it has to go through a forging time. A time where somebody else is speaking into them. A time where they have other people come alongside them. Just like how the sword has to be sharpened by another sword, we have to be sharpened by other people so we can become that person. What culture has been telling us, and you guys are probably surrounded by this constantly, that being single is bad. That in the end, when we're looking at it, that, oh man, we should just be in a relationship. And culture has told us that being single is bad, that this season that you guys are in is bad. But we actually see that so differently, especially from the Bible. We see where the Bible talks about that that's totally different. We see that it's actually beneficial. And Paul actually talks about that in his letter to the church of Corinth. So if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But a little bit of context behind this. If you've actually been attending Revolution on Sunday mornings, we've been walking through 1 Corinthians, and we'll actually be in chapter 7 here in a few weeks. So you're getting a little bit of a pre-glimpse into what we'll talk about on Sunday morning. Or not this Sunday, but in a couple Sundays from now. But if you've been here, you've already heard a little bit of the context behind the Church of Corinth. But the Church of Corinth at this time was a church that was just full of corruption. It was a church that was going through so many struggles. And a lot of those struggles were actually relational struggles. Relational struggles, especially when it comes to sexual temptation and sexual immorality. So this Church of Corinth was just going through a lot. So this is the first of two letters that Paul writes to the Church of Corinth. So if that tells you anything, the church was really messed up because they got two letters, not just one. They got two. So they needed some extra work. But if you're already there, if you're in chapter 7, go ahead and jump down to verse 32, and we're going to pick up there. So he starts out, this is Paul speaking. He says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried man or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint on you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So Paul, out of the gate, makes this statement. Hey, I want you to be free from anxieties. And in this passage, he gives two roads that we see that both have some anxieties within it and things that we can worry about. The first path is where we get to focus on God undividedly. This first path that he talks about is the single man or the single woman, that they are anxious of the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord. The only thing that they have to be anxious about in that time is, hey, developing that relationship with God, developing the relationship that was already built within them. And then the second path that he tells us is now this married man or this married woman is now splitting their time. Instead of just focusing on their relationship with God, they now are focusing on their relationship with God and another person. They have another person involved now. So it just throws a whole other person into the equation. Instead of just being able to focus on one person, they're now focused on another person. So there's now three people involved in this relationship when the first thing that we should be doing is focusing on that first relationship, which is our relationship with Jesus. Now, at the beginning of this passage, Paul said, hey, I want you to be free of anxieties. But then both of those paths lead to anxieties. Well, how does that make sense? Why would Paul tell us that, hey, I want you to be free of anxieties, but then give us two paths that both have anxieties inside of it? Well, the second path that he gives is the path that, hey, we are now dealing with worldly things. We are dealing with a marriage. Now, like Pastor Chad talked about last week, eventually once we get to heaven, the people that we're married to, we won't be married to when we're in heaven. Those marriage relationships won't exist when we get to heaven. So Paul is saying, hey, when you're on this earth, when you're dealing with that marriage, you now have things of this world that you are anxious about. And then on the flip side of it, he tells us, well, hey, if you're fully divided to God, you're now anxious about the things of the Lord. Well, here's the magic of it. In this world, in this body, we will deal with anxieties. If you're a student, you probably have anxieties thrown at you left and right, whether if that's friend drama or anxiety with school over a test that's coming up, whatever those anxieties look like. And Paul tells us that, hey, even when we're on this world, we're still going to deal with anxieties. But when we are focusing on a relationship with God, he is the one that can settle those anxieties. He is the one that can get rid of those anxieties. So even though, hey, we may be focused and worried about our relationship with him, as long as we have full devotion to him, he is the one that can get rid of those anxieties. And that's when he says at the end of the passage in verse 35, he says, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint on you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So he's saying that when you're just focused on your relationship with Jesus, that you can give him all control, or you can give him all the time that you have. You're not split between your relationship with this guy or this girl and Jesus. You're only spending time with Jesus, that is your main relationship. Now, again, I want to reiterate, this season isn't a waste of time. This is to sharpen that relationship with our first love. Well, you might be saying, whoa, what do you mean love? You just told me that we shouldn't be worrying about that relationship with that other person. Well, let me tell you this. If you're in this room tonight and you've put your trust in Jesus, you're already in a relationship. You're already in a relationship with Jesus. So in this time, we get to focus on our relationship with our first love, who is Jesus. So I have this slide up here. It says, our first love, our relationship with Jesus. So in this time of singleness, in this time of forging, we get to develop our relationship with him and become stronger and stronger with him. Now, in the Bible, we're actually described as the bride of Christ. So we are actually described of, we are the bride of Christ, that we are actually in this relationship with him already. That as soon as we become believers, we become the bride of Christ, that we become in a relationship with him. And that is the most important relationship that we have. So this is that time where we get to strengthen that relationship before adding that other person into the equation. Now, Paul just told us that the married man and the woman's interest are divided. So this is the time that we get to give Jesus our undivided attention. And last week, Pastor Chad told us this example of the unequally yoked. Now, if you weren't here last week, just a brief recap. A yoke is something that was used back in the olden days and is actually still used today on a lot of farms to carry a heavy load. So this yoke was just a piece of wood that you would attach two animals to. Usually it was an ox. You would attach these two oxen to the piece of wood. And as they were trying to pull this heavy load, this heavy cart, whatever it was that they were trying to pull, one was struggling to pull it. So when you added the second one, these two oxen are now attached to a piece of wood and they're pulling together. And when one of them is weak, when one of the oxen is weak, the yoke starts doing this and it doesn't move. This one is trying to move, but then it reaches its capacity and it can't go anywhere. So then this oxen back here is just being dragged, and vice versa. This person is now trying to drag this person behind them, or this oxen is trying to drag this oxen, but they're not actually able to move. So simply put it, the animals share the load together and they pull together. But so often we're so worried about, hey, is this person going to pull the load? Is this person going to drag behind us? But never we ask the question reversed. Am I going to be able to pull my load? Am I going to be able to pull my side of the yoke? Because that's the question we have to ask first. We're so worried about trying to find the person who's pulling strong, but we're not thinking if we're pulling it. And when we get into a relationship one day, are you going to be the person that is going to be dragged behind? Because in the end, we're all just running this race of life. And hey, I want to tell you guys this. This is real to me too. If you don't know, I'm not married. I'm still in that season of singleness. I'm still waiting for God to put that person in front of me. So in life, we're all just running this race. And as we're running this race, my hope and dream is that I just look over and see that person standing next to me. And that's the person that God has said, hey, this is the person that will be in your yoke. So in the end, are you pulling your weight in the yoke? Will you be the one that is drifting behind? Because in the end, we're looking for that person who will pull with us. So before we ask, hey, well, do they love Jesus? Are they developing a relationship with Jesus? The first question we have to ask is, do I love Jesus? Am I growing closer to him? Am I building that strength in that relationship so that when I'm in that yoke, that then we are both pulling together? And hey, part of becoming that person is leaving certain things behind. Maybe there are certain things in our lives that we have to get rid of first before we can get into that yoke, before we can even worry about having that relationship. And in the book of 2 Timothy, this is another letter that Paul writes. This is his final letter that he writes to Timothy. And if you don't know, Timothy is a student of Paul's. So this is someone that Paul was bringing up and actually sent out to go pastor the church in Ephesus, which, if you know, that's where the book of Ephesians comes from. So in this letter, in chapter 2, he tells us in verse 22, he's talking to Timothy, he says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." So in this passage, Paul gives two commands. He says, flee and pursue. Excuse me. Again, Paul gives us two, he gives us two commandments in this passage. He says, flee and pursue. He says, flee the things, flee those youthful passions, flee the things that are pulling us away from him. Flee the things that are going to make us be dragged behind in our yoke, and pursue the things of the Lord. Pursue the things of faith, love, and peace. We're pursuing the things that draw us closer to him. So again, in this passage, he gives us two commandments. He says, flee the things that will pull us away from God and pursue the things that will draw us closer to him. And then he says, along with others. But here's the thing. He tells us that we get to along with others who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But that's after we flee and after we pursue. So after we've gotten rid of those things and after we have pursued the Lord, that's when we get to call on that person. That's when we get to enter into that yoke, after we fleed and after we pursued. But the thing is, though, is that the way we do that is by building safe boundaries. We do that by putting in safe boundaries in our lives. And that comes to the point of tonight, that real relationships require real boundaries. Again, if you've been here through this series, every week we've talked about how real relationships require real blank. So every week has had a different real blank. We started out with our relationships with parents, that real relationships require real obedience. And tonight we're ending it with real relationships require real boundaries. Now, why do we set boundaries in our lives? It's to keep us in check, to keep us in line. Look at the analogy of a car. Why are there lines on a road and guardrails on the side of the road? It's to keep the car in the lane. We have lines so we don't sway into the other lane and get into oncoming traffic. And we have guardrails so we don't drive into a ditch. So we build these boundaries to keep the car safe. Now, when do these guardrails and these lines get placed down? It's before the car drives through it, before the car drives on that road. Now, the DOT doesn't wait until someone flies off the road or flies into oncoming traffic or to actually build these guardrails. No, these guardrails are built for the safety to build up to code of these roads before a car even drives down the road. And in the same way in our lives, before we drive down the road or before we start dating someone, before we decide that we want to get into a relationship, we build our own guardrails. We build the things that keep us in line. We build the things that will keep us with our relationship with God. And we don't wait until we're in that emotional high of a relationship. Because once we're in a relationship, then it becomes too late. Because like Paul talked about, our intentions are divided. That we can't focus solely on God and another person. That we have to focus. At that point, our attentions are split. So in this time now, this time of singleness, that's when we get to build these boundaries. Just like how if I'm driving at night, when I'm driving home tonight, if it starts raining and it's dark out and there's no lines on the road, it gets really hard to see. So if there's no lines on the road, chances are I'm probably going to end up swerving into a ditch, especially driving down. If you've ever driven down 108, it gets really curvy in some spots. And if it's really dark and raining, it's really hard to see, even the lines. So these lines and these guardrails are built for when these times come that the driver can actually see. They can see the barriers before the cliff. These boundaries are built before the cliff, before the ditch. It's not built to catch you when you fall off. It's built to hold you in the line before you even get close to the edge. It's supposed to protect you before you fall down. And the way we do that is someone has to come in and build these barriers. These guardrails and these lines, they don't just get painted and they don't just get built out of nowhere. They don't just show up. Someone actually has to physically build those barriers on the road. And just like that in our lives, someone has to come in and actually build these barriers in our lives. Someone has to step in and say, hey, I've been through this before. I can help you. I can walk you through this. I can build these boundaries. I can help you build these boundaries. Pastor Chad talked about last week how we can allow mentors into our lives, people who have walked through relationships before, people who can come in and disciple you through your relationship with Jesus and help you build these boundaries so that way then one day, once that marriage level is on horizon and you do enter into a dating relationship, those boundaries are already there. Someone who will keep you accountable for when you are in that relationship. Just like how when you're going through driver's ed. When you're going through driver's ed, are you driving in the car by yourself? No, you have someone in the passenger seat with you that's helping you, that's keeping you in line, making sure you're not driving or making sure you run a red light or flying down the road too fast. Just like that, how when we're in a relationship, we can have someone who comes alongside us, someone who mentors us through that. Maybe it's a small group leader who's with you in the room right now, who's already married, who, hey, I can help you build these boundaries so that way then you don't make the same mistakes that maybe I made. Or maybe it's a parent who has helped grow you up your whole life. That is, you've gotten to see their relationship grow as you've grown up, and now they can speak into your lives so that way then when you're ready to enter into a relationship, you can then build off the foundation that they have built in your life. Now, maybe you're in this room right now and you've thought, well, I've already crossed that line. I've already gone into the ditch. Well, here's the beauty. When a car drives off the side of a ditch, is the car just left there? No, a tow truck comes and gets it. A tow truck comes and pulls it out of the ditch. It brings it to the shop and someone fixes the car. It doesn't just sit in the ditch. Just like that, if we've crossed a line, if you're in this room tonight thinking, well, I've already crossed the line, there's no going back. Well, the beauty is that God's grace pulls you out of that ditch. That if you have driven if you have driven into the ditch or you have crossed that line, that God is right there behind you. He is the tow truck that comes and pulls you out, that brings you to the shop, and he repairs you. So if we have driven off that line, it is okay. Now, this isn't saying this is your free pass to sin. That, oh, it's fine. If God's gonna come pull me out of the ditch every time I drive off, then I can just keep going. Well, that's the abuse of grace. That's the abuse of grace that God has given you. But when he does pull us out, that is the time that we get to learn, hey, how do I fix a car? That if I have crossed the line, or maybe there's someone in your life who has done something that speaks into you, that has crossed the line that maybe you have thought about crossing before, that when those people get to come in, they get to help repair the car. So that way then when the car gets back on the road, that it can see those, it can see the barriers, it knows how to drive down the road safely and not drive off into the barrier or over the line. So again, this isn't your free pass to sin, but in these times, this is when it's the reassurance that you can't run too far away from God, that when you have driven off, that he is there to pull you back up. So again, I want to ask you this question. Are you more worried about finding the right person, or are you more worried about becoming the right person? Because it all goes back to the same question from the beginning. Are you becoming the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? Are you becoming that person? Because in the end, how can you expect to find the right person if you are not the right person? When you're ready to enter into a dating relationship, when you are in that phase of life, will that person, when they're starting to look for people, will they look at you and say, hey, yeah, that's the person that I want? Are you becoming the person that the person you are looking for is also looking for? Because in the end, when we become the right person, we will attract the right person. When we are ready to step into that next phase of life, we will be able to attract that person because we are that person, because we are pursuing a relationship after Jesus. Because in the end, our first relationship is with him. He is our first love. So before we even think about getting into a dating relationship, we have to ask the question, are you the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? Let's pray.